Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. If there was more understanding about the place of the law of Moses in God's scheme of things, much of the error in the religious world would cease to exist. Because of misunderstanding and misapplication of the law of Moses, there's been a creation of a mixture of Judaism and Christianity that can only dishonor God's Son. Even many in this day and time still look to the teaching that God gave through Moses as their authority for what they do religiously. Some will point to the Mosaic Law as the authority for a special priesthood, or instrumental music, or the burning of incense, and many other matters. Some continue to make a pretense of observing the Sabbath day that was done under Moses. The denial of the necessity of baptism for the remission of sins stems to a great extent from the misplacement of the law of Moses and the way God formerly has dealt with mankind. The law of Moses is no longer in effect or applicable as to the way and the laws by which God governs man today. Those living now, neither Jew nor Gentile, will stand before God in judgment and be judged according to the law of Moses. Even though it came from God, its term of service has long ago been reached and terminated. And we're studying the question, why did the law have to cease? If we believe and accept the inspired record of the New Testament, we will have no doubts in our mind that the old law, the law of Moses, had to cease. If the law of Moses had not ceased, the law of Christ could never have come into effect. To understand that is to understand truth. And to understand that this is so, we must know something more about that former and older system. The law was only given to the Israelites, the Jews. Deuteronomy 5:1-3, "And the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all here alive this day." It was a law that was not in force prior to the time of Moses. It was never a law that governed Gentiles. Inasmuch as salvation is offered to all, there was the necessity of the establishment of a law that not only would include Jews, but also Gentiles as well. The law of Moses never could do that. Now we might wonder why the law was ever given. Well, Paul asks, and he answers that question, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" Galatians 3:19. And he responded, "It was added because of transgression." Dear friend, the law of Moses served as a guide, God's rule and schoolmaster, to govern the Jews and bring them unto the time of the long-promised Messiah. Through the types and the shadows and the symbols and the representations and the pictures of the law of Moses, God gave somewhat of a preview of the basic principles of the universal law that he would give through Christ. This law was to serve as the divine standard for Israel in the development of a religious heritage and a holy nation through which the Savior would come. The law was never intended to be a law to last until the end of time. Just as it is limited as to those to whom it applied, so it is limited as to the time it would be in effect. It would last, Paul said, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. In Galatians 3, the Apostle Paul asserted that the seed of the promise to Abraham referred to Christ. Christ is Abraham's seed that fulfilled the promises that God gave to Abraham. The law of Moses was not the fulfillment of that promise. It was a temporary measure for the Jews until Christ came. It was designed and intended to be taken out of the way once the faith had come. Paul reasoned even how the Old Testament taught that, in the account of Abraham and Sarah, and Isaac and Hagar and Ishmael. More especially, Paul wrote in Colossians 2:14, "Blotting out the handwriting contained in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." Friend, Christ did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, Matthew 5:17-18. The law had served as a middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile, But by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, that middle wall was broken down, and it ceased to be operative. Ephesians 2:13-18. It is not too uncommon to hear some religious teachers still saying that people should live by the law of Moses, or that we can be saved by the law of Moses, and that the law of Moses is still in effect. But such teaching is contradictory to the strong and repeated statements of inspired men. The law that was removed also included the Ten Commandments. They have been set aside as far as God's will today through the Mosaic Authority is concerned. Now, there are some who say that only the ceremonial law has been set aside and not the moral law. Dear friend, the Scriptures make no such distinction as that regarding the law, breaking it into two parts. Surely the ordinances of the law can be categorized into these categories, but the Scriptures make no kind of assertion or insinuation that only one part of the law is removed. It is plain and easy to see that Paul taught that even the moral commandments have been removed as far as coming through Moses was concerned. Romans 7:1-7 teaches that we are no longer under the old law, and Paul uses the moral commandment, thou shalt not covet, the tenth of the Ten Commandments, as an example of the law to which he had reference, from which we are delivered. Just as a wife is no longer bound to her husband once he has died, so none are bound any more to the law, for it is dead. The law to which he referred included this tenth of the Ten Commandments. There is no part of the law of Moses to which we are accountable today. Now, to be sure, there are many inclusions even in the law of Christ that resemble ordinances found in the Mosaic law, and some are even identical to the Mosaic law, and others have been expanded upon. But, friend, we live under the authority of Christ, and it is wrong to steal, not because Moses said so, but because that's a part of the doctrine of Christ that says we're not to steal. The very nature of the Ten Commandments made it necessary for them to cease. Much of them dealt only with the outward and overt acts of sin. There was only minor consideration of the intents and the purposes of the heart. The law of Christ gave emphasis to both the heart and the deeds of men. And regretfully, I heard a teacher once say, making a glaring doctrinal error in suggesting that Christ was only concerned with the heart and not the deeds. Well, that's not so either. He's concerned about the heart. He's concerned about the deeds. But the law of Moses was more concerned with the deed. For instance, the law said, thou shalt not kill. This means thou shalt not murder. But the law of Christ goes beyond that and condemns even the hatred of others, which is the heart seed from which murder grows. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, John wrote in 1 John 3:15. The law said, thou shalt not commit adultery. The way of Christ goes to the heart of the matter and forbids lust that precedes the overt act of adultery. To have a governing system that reached the inward man, a new and different law was necessary. The old law had to cease. And please note how often we have reference to the fact that we are still living under law. Even though it's not the law of Moses, we still live under law, and that law is the law of Christ. Hebrews 7, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity, a change also of the law. Now the priesthood was changed. The law that governed that Levitical priesthood could not continue. The Bible teaches that Christ is a priest and is a priest forever, that every Christian is a priest, not just those of the Jewish tribe of Levi. The law that considered only the lineage of Aaron as high priest would have clashed with the priesthood of Christ, because Christ was of the tribe of Judah, Hebrews 7:14. And yet, he is our high priest, Hebrews 3:1. The law had to be changed for this reason. It had to cease. What confusion would reign if two laws were to coexist that differed one from another? That even creates problems among human laws. Men could not expect to serve God decently and in order if there were two differing laws binding upon him. In fact, we're touching on the heart of the major problem in the religious world today, namely, the futile attempt of some to follow man's laws and God's law at the same time. Such confusion does not exist, and God is not the author of it. There was no promise of eternal life and forgiveness of sins to come by the law of Moses. To be sure, Moses spoke of the Messiah that was to come. The promise that God gave to Abraham, however, was, as we have noted, accomplished in Christ, Galatians chapter 3. If one wants the blessing that God offers because of the promise to Abraham, then he must come to Christ. Paul said, "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We cannot attain such favors through the law of Moses. The inheritance is not of the law. Again, Paul reasoned, "For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no more of promise, but God granted it to Abraham by promise." You see, there had to be a new and better system, and the old law had to cease its function. Moses' law could not and did not bring perfection, even in the sense of completeness and wholeness, let alone sinlessness and forgiveness. Suppose for a moment you were sick, nigh unto death, and medical science found a drug that would postpone death only 1 year at a time, but no longer. It would never provide a cure. Then suddenly an announcement was made that there was a medicine that, once taken, it would cure you, and no other medicine would ever be needed. How would you react to such an announcement? I think this is an ample illustration of how the old law compares with the new law and the system through Christ. Hebrews 10 and verse 1 says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." Christ was offered once for all, and there is no longer the need for repeated sacrifices of animals, by which sins could not be removed anyway, Hebrews 10:4. "For by his one sacrifice he taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. And that which he established, dear friend, provides for the forgiveness of sins. The old law simply had to make way for the new." Again, the Mosaic law had to cease because of the existence of another law, from which we could not be freed under the Mosaic law. This other law is that which Paul called the law of sin and death, Romans 8 and verse 2. Now Ezekiel 18 and 20 reads, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Now this refers to spiritual death, a separation from God. Romans 6:23 teaches us the wages of sin is death. Now this is the penalty for unforgiven sin. This law of sin and death ever exists. But even though the law of Moses was weak and could not deliver us from the law of sin and death, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. It was not possible that the blood of animals could accomplish this, Hebrews 10:4, but it is accomplished by the once offered blood of Christ, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 and 28, and also Hebrews 10 and verse 10. You see, the law of Moses was not something sinister and evil. It was not against the promises that God gave through Abraham, but it was not the fulfillment of those promises either. By the law and the study of it, we all can come to a better understanding of the nature and that accompanies sin and the ruin that accompanies sin. We can see how that old law condemned the sin and defined the sin, but it did not forgive sin. We can see how desperately those in sin need salvation. And by that law, we have presentations that give us a pre-picture of the system of Christ that shows to us fully that God's plan is the system through Christ. But we now live under that perfect law of liberty of which James speaks in James 1 and verse 25. Once again, we repeat, we live under law. The system of grace through Christ involves a system of law and works of obedience. If we ever enjoy the spiritual blessedness that we must have to live successfully in this life and to be able to enter into heaven when this life is over, we must follow the law of Christ. The old law has served its turn. It is now set aside. It was God's plan to give it. It was God's plan that it cease. Let us respect God's plan and follow the plan that He has given through His only begotten Son. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.